making ourselves vulnerable to it, applying it to our lives, being encouraged by it. And so we ask you, by your Holy Spirit, to enlighten our hearts and minds, to cause our wills to be submissive to what we read here. For the sake of Christ the King, we pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 63 and Psalm 65. O God, thou art my God, I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh yearns for thee. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, thus I have beheld thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. So I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches, for thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to thee. Thy right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. There will be silence before thee and praise in Zion, O God, and to thee the vow will be performed. O thou who dost hear prayer, to thee all men come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou dost forgive them. How blessed is the one whom thou dost choose and bring near to thee, to dwell in thy courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. By awesome deeds thou dost answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation. Thou who art the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea, who dost establish the mountains by his strength, being girded with might, who dost still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. And they who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of thy signs. Thou dost make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. Thou dost visit the earth and cause it to overflow. Thou dost greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. Thou dost prepare their grain, for thus thou dost prepare the earth. Thou dost water its furrows abundantly. Thou dost settle its ridges. Thou dost soften it with showers. Thou dost bless its growth. Thou hast crowned the year with thy bounty, and thy paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy, yes, they sing. And in John, Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, and beginning with verse 12, and reading through verse 17. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, that is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. And now the 8th chapter of Romans and verse 26 and 27. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You may be seated. Because prayer is so essential to worship and to life, last week we began looking at the subject in the Word of God to try to understand it better. Because the more we understand what God reveals concerning an issue, the more we're going to appreciate that very issue. And the outline that we gave you is for your own personal study. You'll notice that throughout it, there's scripture reference after scripture reference, because our concern is to try to understand what the Bible says about the issue. And also throughout the paper, you'll notice there are statements from our own Westminster Larger Catechism, which for those of you who are visitors, is one of the doctrinal statements of our church and of our faith, and it helps us understand what the Word of God teaches. Let's review just a little bit what we talked about last week as we talked about the essence of prayer. When you get right down to it, prayer is talking to God from your heart. Prayer is not simply an attitude. It's not simply a mindset or an emotional state that you try to maintain. Prayer is not simply not meditation. Prayer involves words. It involves conscious, intelligible talking in words that are understandable to you, to God. And it is talking to God about things that are on your heart. The psalm that we just read talks about David thirsting from his soul for the living God, his flesh craving and hungering for the living God. We could read passage after passage that talks about the pouring out of our hearts before God. Prayer, if it is real, if it is true, is something that comes from the heart. It's telling God in words what we feel, what we think on our hearts. It's a very sincere and real thing. We saw also that it's a command. It's not an option for human beings. It's not something we just do if we take a notion. It's not something that man has thought up. It is something that God has commanded of all men everywhere. And therefore, it's a terrible sin not to pray. Also, it's a promise. With the command of God in the Bible, there is the promise that He'll give us what we ask for if we pray according to His will. And we reminded ourselves of that great promise last week. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That God promises to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers, and we know He will because of His name in Psalm 65. You remember His name? One of the names God gives Himself, O God who hears prayer. He's not just that and doesn't just wear that title on Sunday mornings. He doesn't just hear prayer every now and then or occasionally. He is the God who hears prayer all the time. So that whenever God's people pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for God to reject their prayers or not to hear their prayers would be to reject Himself and deny Himself as God. And to deny His own name, because He is the God who hears prayer. We also showed that everything there is in God, everything we know about God, His righteousness, His justice, His wisdom, His sovereignty, His love, His grace, everything we know about God is an encouragement to us to tell God what's on our hearts in prayer. Now, last week, you also memorized the Larger Catechism's definition in prayer, and I'm sure if I were to call one of you men that's to stand right now and to repeat what you learned last week, even though you haven't refreshed yourself on it, you could, I'm sure. But just to refresh your memory, let me remind you the ingredients of this definition of prayer from the Larger Catechism. It's on the first page of your outline. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of His Spirit with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. Now, last week we looked at the first phrase. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. Next week we're going to look at the last couple lines. With confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And today we're going to look at those two phrases, in the name of Christ by the help of the Spirit. There are some people who think they've prayed who have never prayed in their whole lives. Just as we've pointed out, there are some people who think they have worshiped who have never worshiped in their own lives. Prayer, if it is true, and if it is to be heard by God, not only must be the sincere verbal expression of what's on your heart, but it must also be in the name of Jesus Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit. And any prayer that we offer, however sincere we may think we are in offering that prayer, will not be heard and answered by God unless it is prayed in the name of Jesus and by the help of the Holy Spirit. You remember several months back in our broader series on the true worship of God, we pointed out that true worship is Trinitarian in its very nature. We worship God and have access into His presence because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in our behalf 2,000 years ago with the assistance and motivation and enablement of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, very specifically, this applies to prayer as well. That prayer is the offering up of the desires of the heart to God in the name of Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's those two phrases that I want us to look at. And the more we look at them and understand them, the more moved we will be to pray and the more thankful we will be to God for such a rich and glorious thing as prayer is. If you'll turn to page 6 in your outlines, there in the middle of the page, we have another larger catechism answer. And that is on the meaning of praying in the name of Jesus. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? And here's what the larger catechism says, and we're going to look at the scripture in a minute. To pray in the name of Christ is, in obedience to His command and in confidence on His promises, to ask mercy for His sake, not by bare mentioning of His name, but by drawing our encouragement to pray and our boldness, strength, and hope for acceptance in prayer from Christ and His mediation. Now look at that. Let's explain it, and I want us to look at some things in detail. First of all, when the Bible commands us, as it does time and again, to pray in Jesus' name, it's impressing us with the fact that all true prayer must be in the name of Christ because only through Christ is prayer possible. That it's because of what He did that we dare open our mouths and tell God what's on our heart. We don't tell God what's on our heart because we deserve it, because we merit it, because we're good people. We recognize what sinners we are, and we dare utter God's name in prayer because the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up access to Him by His own life, death, and resurrection. And because of what He did, we not only can come to the presence of God and tell Him what's on our hearts, we can also do it boldly and with confidence, knowing that God has accepted us as His children, knowing that God has promised us to give us what we ask if we pray in His name. He's promised to have mercy upon us, and we know that the only way we can seek mercy from God is to seek it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you ask the average person on the street what it means to pray in Jesus' name or God won't hear you, what they'll probably tell you is, you got to put this little formula at the end of your prayers. And if you don't put this little formula at the end of your prayers, it's not a real Christian prayer, God doesn't hear you. So you got to say something like, in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of your prayers. If you don't, hey, everything you said before that doesn't count. God doesn't hear it. However sincere, without the little formula, God's not going to hear your prayers. And so it's a superstitious device that most people think you have to have on the end of your prayers all the time, or God doesn't hear the prayer. If you forget, you got to go back and say it again. Well, now let me make a little observation. There's a lot of prayers in the Bible, right? A lot of prayers in the Old Testament. A lot of prayers in the New Testament. Do you know there's not one prayer in the Bible that ends with the phrase in Jesus' name? Not even the Lord's Prayer? Look up Matthew 7 sometime. See if the Lord's Prayer entered. Our Father which art in heaven, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. No. There's not one prayer in the whole Bible that ends in Jesus' name. And yet the Bible says that God's not going to hear our prayers unless they're prayed in Jesus' name. Now, does that mean that we don't have to say Jesus' name at the end of prayers and we shouldn't say it? Well, no, it's not that you shouldn't say it. But whenever you say it lightly or you use it as a superstitious device, thinking, well, I got to put this on the end of the prayer, God's not going to hear me, you're breaking the third commandment, which says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. And to take the name of the Lord in vain is to use his name and not mean anything by it. But to try to seek something from God by some superstitious manipulation of him by using the right formula. So there's nothing wrong with ending your prayers in the name of Christ or in Jesus' name. That's okay. That's great. As long as you mean it. And you understand what you mean. And you don't use that phrase as a device to try to manipulate God. And it's okay if you don't use it. It's okay if you don't end your prayers in Jesus' name. As long as you prayed in Jesus' name throughout the whole prayer. Now let me give you a little piece of advice that I've thought about in my own life. Practical application. A lot of times I'm called upon to pray in public meetings that are not of an ecclesiastical type. Maybe a sports situation, a political situation, something like that, where you're called upon to have the invocation or the blessing, and they say to you, because we have people from various faiths here, it would be better for you not to pray in the name of Jesus at the end of your prayers. Well, I want you to know at those times, I think that it's better to use the phrase than not. Even though you don't ever have to use that phrase. It's better when you're called upon to pray publicly and somebody says, we don't want you to say in Jesus' name, to either say, I must say in Jesus' name or not pray. And the reason I give you that advice is because the person who said, we don't want you to put Jesus' name at the end of your prayers, probably meant by that God hears the prayers from a variety of religions, and therefore we don't want to offend anybody from any religions, therefore you don't have to pray in Jesus' name anyway. And then if you gave in to his suggestion and you prayed without saying in Jesus' name at the end of your prayers, what you would be doing would be confirming his false belief that it really doesn't matter what religion you come from as long as you're sincere when you pray, and therefore you could tremendously mislead him. So therefore, if you're asked to pray in a public situation and they tell you not to pray in Jesus' name, my counsel to you is to use the phrase, because it will be interpreted as something you don't want it to be understood as. And either say, I must use the phrase, because you can only pray in the name of Jesus, or don't pray. Well now, what does it mean then to pray in the name of Christ? If it's not literally some formula that you have to put on the end of every prayer, but you have to pray in the name of Jesus every time you pray, what does the phrase mean? Well, let's look at the Word of God, and I want to emphasize three things. The name of Christ as encouragement, the name of Christ as power, and the name of Christ as divine direction. The name of Christ as encouragement to pray, the name of Christ as power in prayer, and the name of Christ as direction in prayer. Now, let's look. First of all, praying in the name of Christ and understanding that the phrase, the name of Christ, is an encouragement to us to pray. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One man has said that it's only through the intervention of Jesus Christ has God's dreadful throne of glory and majesty been converted into a throne of grace and of mercy. To come near to God's throne of grace is to pray. And we can come near His throne of grace and not be worried about being consumed by His anger. Not that we don't deserve to be consumed by His anger, which we do. But we can come before God's throne of grace in prayer, offering the petitions of our heart boldly and with confidence as a little child would to his father, knowing that his father will receive him. Not because we deserve such, but because we have a high priest who's gone to heaven for us, who lived a life here for 33 years, sympathizing with our weaknesses, who died on a cross, taking our sins upon himself, taking the punishment our sins deserve, arising from the dead on the third day and ascending to God's right hand, where he stands and prays for us, intercedes for us as our advocate in the very presence of God. It's because of him now that we can come before God's throne of grace. He's our encouragement. We don't look at ourselves and say, well, I feel especially spiritual today and especially close to God, and so surely that'll count for something and God will hear my prayer. It counts for nothing. The only thing that counts is the high priest that's gone into heaven. The high priest who laid down his own life as a sacrifice for us. Because of what he did and the perfection of that sacrifice, because he obtained eternal redemption for us once and for all when he died on the cross and now stands in God's presence as our intercessor, we come with encouragement and confidence and boldness, knowing that God will hear us. Remember how we finished last Sunday's sermon? Because we have a high priest in heaven, we know that God will always give us what we ask for, or something better. And so we can go to God knowing that that's true, that that's not just whistling in the dark. It's not just vain, hopeful thinking. It's fact. It's reality. We do have a high priest. He has sacrificed for our sins once and for all. He does stand in God's presence to intercede for us. That's the greatest encouragement anybody can ever have. And you know, the entire work of faith is coming before God's throne of grace in the name of Jesus. That's what faith does. Faith believes doctrine. Faith obeys laws. But when you get right down to the heart of an issue, what is it that faith in God does? Faith comes near to God's throne in the name of Jesus. That's what faith does. All faith has to plead with God. The only arguments that faith has to give God as to why he should answer our prayers is the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, who sympathized with our weaknesses, who gave his life on the cross, who arose and now sits and reigns at God's right hand. That's all we have to plead. That's the only argument we have with God is the Lord Jesus. And we know that that argument always wins with God. And the name of Christ is a tremendous encouragement to pray. All the promises that we have from God are in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're fulfilled in Him. They're administered by Him. Every blessing that God has said He would bestow upon His people has been purchased for us by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All we hope for, we have in Christ Himself. And therefore, when a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ comes near to God's throne of grace, without fear and trembling, no thinking he's going to be consumed by God's anger, he can come boldly. He can come with the confidence that God has accepted him and forgiven him of his sins and been reconciled to him. And he knows that God will hear his prayers and will give him what he asked for or something better because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the one who died for him and who arose that he might have life. Let me give you now one of the greatest statements I've ever read in all my life by Mr. Calvin, John Calvin. Listen to what he said. Now listen, and take this home with you. And don't ever let it out of your mind or your consciousness. He said, "We have the heart of God as soon as we have placed before Him the name of His Son. Now let that sink in. We have the heart of God as soon as we have placed before Him the name of His Son. There's nothing in all of life that I want more than to have the heart of God. I want God to have my heart. And so I lift up my heart and my hands before Him, to use the words of the Old Testament. But I want God to have me on His heart. I want to give Him, I want Him to give me His heart. And you know what that kind of talk means. I mean, you sing songs about it. You have romance filled up with this type of talk. Give me your heart. What are you saying when you say to your wife or the person you love, give me your heart? You saying, give me this thing that pumps the middle of your chest? No. You're saying, I need you and I want you. Now, God doesn't need me, but I want God's love more than anything in all the world. If I have the love of God, that's all I need in life. If I can be certain that God loves me, that He cares for me, then it really doesn't matter what happens after that. You remember that's what the psalm said, Psalm 63? David was in the wilderness. He was in a desert. He was dying of thirst. He hadn't eaten in a long time. He was running away from King Saul and the police force that was out to kill him. And here he was in the desert, and he said, my soul thirsts for God, and my flesh yearns for Thee. Now, he was literally thirsting for water and yearning for food. But this was an overriding desire in his life while he was in the wilderness. He wasn't saying, Lord, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, give me drink. He said, Lord, I thirst for You more than for water. And then he said, that I see Your power and Your glory displayed for me as I pray to You. And so I'm in a sanctuary. That's his words. Here he was out in a dry desert. And yet he said, because I know that God knows me and loves me and displays His power and His glory in my behalf, and my heart yearns for Him, and He gives me His heart, and I give Him my heart, then out here in this desert is just like being in His glorious sanctuary. In other words, he's saying, you know, here I am in a cave, running from a police force, starving and dying of thirst, and I feel like I'm in church. See, that's how much going to church, by the way, meant to David. I feel like I'm with the people of God. I feel like I'm a part of the congregation in God's presence. And I'm out here in the desert. Because there's nothing that satisfies me like God's loving kindness, he said. And so I'll praise Thee the rest of my days. Well, that's what we pray for when we pray in the name of Christ. We say, Lord, I want Your heart. I give You my heart. I want Your heart. I want Your love. If I know You love me and that You're for me and that You look upon me with favor, then I'm going to be encouraged to pour out to You in honesty whatever's on my heart, and I'm not going to be afraid to tell You what's there. The name of Christ is the greatest encouragement we have to pray. It's the greatest gift that God ever gave us. Is the name of Christ. When you have the name of Christ, you've got the key that unlocks the treasures of heaven. And you have the heart of God as soon as you place before Him the name of your Son, of His Son. Now, what that means in my own personal prayers is that there's hardly a prayer that I ever utter in my life in which I don't verbally say something about Jesus to God, either thanking Him for Christ, because I love that name. I know what that name means. I know how much of an encouragement it is to me. And so I want to say, verbally, say that name and something about that name in most of the prayers that I pray before Almighty God. And when God hears you say the name of His Son from your heart, Jesus, you have the heart of God. Now, the name of Jesus also is power. Let me read to you a verse from Psalm 72, verse 17. May His name endure forever. May His name increase as long as the sun shines. And let men bless themselves by Him. Let all nations call Him blessed. Now that's interesting use of the word name, isn't it? We wouldn't use the word name like that. It says, let your name endure forever and let your name increase as long as the sun shines. Well, to us, the word name just simply means what you go by. So if that's all that you or I think by the word name is what we go by, then when He says, let your name increase, we have no idea what that means. Let my name increase, add more to my name. I got one middle name, I should have two middle names. I mean, what does it mean? Let your name increase. Well, understand that the word name also signifies power in this text. It says, Lord, may your name endure forever. May your name increase as long as the sun shines. And as it does, men will bless themselves and nations will call you blessed. That as your name increases, as your power goes forth in the earth, men will rise up and call you blessed. So that the name of God, the name of Christ, signifies power in a person's life. In fact, it'd be interesting sometime to look up the word name in a concordance and to see what all it means when it has reference to God in the Old Testament particularly, or Christ in the New. And then you'll understand a little more what it means in the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Doesn't just mean don't cuss, though it does mean that. It means a lot more. You'll understand what it means when God says that in the temple in the Old Testament and in Christ in the New, I've caused my name to dwell there. Now, how do you cause your name to dwell someplace? You see, this word name is a far richer and fuller word than it is in our vocabulary today. For instance, sometimes in the Bible, the word name is a synonym for God Himself. Sometimes in the Bible, the word name is a synonym for all the titles of God. And there's all kinds of wonderful titles of God in the Bible. Sometimes the word name, the word name means God's Word, the Bible. The Bible is the name of God. God is the name of God. There's other places where the works of God are called His name. The mighty works of God of redemption in the Bible can be said to be the name of God. Other places, the worship of God. In other places, the perfections of God. So the point is that in the Bible, the word name signifies God Himself. The name of Jesus, then, signifies Jesus Himself. In other words, the word name gives expression to your very being. It's a declaration of what you are. It's a revelation of yourself. You see this in the way people were named in the Scriptures. Peter was changed his name from Simon to Peter, the Rock. In the Old Testament, you have Jacob, who was a sneaky rascal, had his name to Israel, changed to Israel, Prince with God. The word Jacob means sneaky rascal. And so the name fits the character. The name Israel, Prince of God, fits what God made Jacob to be by His grace. So a person's name caught the gist of his character. It was a revelation of who he is. So the name of God is God. So that to invoke the name of Jesus, we pray in the name of Jesus. To invoke the name of Jesus is to invoke, and you see what the word invoke means, invocation. Comes from Latin words, invocation, calling, to call out, to call down the name of Jesus, is to invoke the very person and power and presence of Christ Himself. To pray in Jesus' name is to call down the power of Jesus. It is to call down the person of Jesus that He might make His presence known in our midst. So to pray in the name of Christ is to pray for Christ Himself to exercise His glorious power as God and to manifest His mighty presence in our own situation. That's what you pray for when you pray in Jesus' name. You call down power from heaven. You say, I make this prayer in Jesus' name. And what you're saying is, Lord Jesus Christ, as I pray, you come down and you make your presence known in my life. And you exercise your power in me and through me that I might be what I need to be, that my prayers might be answered according to your will, that I might be used in my life for your glory. In Jesus' name means, Jesus, come down in my situation here and now as I worship and make yourself and your presence and your power known to me. So that the name of Christ is indeed power. By the way, it's interesting that the Bible not only says that we're to pray in Jesus' name, but all Christians are to live and to act in Jesus' name, Colossians 3:17. That is, if you want your life to have power, if you want what you do for Him to have power, if you want to have power with your children to help them be what they ought to be, you live and you act in utter dependence, not upon your own little puny strength, which is nothing, but upon the awesome power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at God's right hand, that He might pour forth His Spirit and the power of His Spirit into our lives. So what is it to pray in Jesus' name? It's an encouragement. It's to say, Lord, all I have I owe to your blessed Son and what He did on the cross for me, and so I come boldly before your throne. It's also power. Lord, I pray these things, give you these praises, make these petitions in Jesus' name with the prayer that Christ's presence and power might make themselves felt in my life. Feel powerless towards sin and Satan? Do you see so many troubles and so many complications in life that life gets so entangled and so frustrating that you feel like you just are powerless to deal with the situation, and it overwhelms you and you feel like you're drowning in a bottomless, shoreless ocean? What's the solution? Pray in Jesus' name. Don't see the name as a superstitious formula. Because if you pray in Jesus' name and you don't understand what it means, and you don't have a life of faithfulness to go along with it, then it doesn't count. I mean, this is no shortcut to spirituality. That the prayers that God hears in Jesus' name come from a life that's lived in Jesus' name. Not a perfect life, but a life that's lived in faith in Him and in faithfulness to Him. And then when you pray in the name of Jesus, the very power of God comes into your life and it begins to disentangle yourself from all the frustrations and pressures and headaches of life, and begins to lift you up out of that miry clay and set your feet upon a solid rock and establish your goings. The name of Jesus is power. Thirdly, the name of Christ, we're to pray in the name of Christ, is direction from God. Now I want you to turn with me to some of what I think are the most astounding promises in the Bible pertaining to prayer. And they are to be found in John 14, 15, and 16, and 17. And I want us to look at each of these chapters because, I mean, these promises, if they were not given to us by God in the Bible, we would never even think of such things, much less imagine them. John 14, we read this one a while ago in verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus talking here now in these verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Look at the next chapter, chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. God says, Jesus says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, it's interesting how various denominations emphasize a part of that verse to the exclusion of the other. For instance, in a lot of I'm being facetious now, but the point will be well taken, I trust. For instance, in Presbyterian churches, the emphasis has always been on the last part of the verse. And so the first part's been downplayed. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. But now if you go to charismatic and Pentecostal churches, they'll emphasize the first, the exclusion of the last. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. All right, now let's don't make the mistakes of the Pentecostals or the Presbyterians. It says, Jesus says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Period. No ifs, ands, and buts. There it is. Ask me anything, Jesus said, in my name, and I'll do it. And if you didn't get it the first time, he said it in three separate chapters. Because he knew you probably wouldn't believe it the first time he said it. Now, to me, that's one of the most astounding promises in all the scriptures. Of course, the one that goes with it there in John 14 is just as astounding, where he says, those who believe in me will be able to do greater works than I did while I was on earth. Now, all of this hinges upon the resurrection of Christ and the pouring forth of the Spirit. In this context, he says, because I go to my Father and pour forth the Spirit, you're going to be able to do tremendous things, one of which is you're going to be able to pray and ask me to do anything, and if you ask it in my name, I'll do it for you. Now, that's why we've taken all this time explaining what the word name means in the Scriptures. The word name simply isn't somebody's title that you add to the end of a verse. That's the way some people interpret it. They interpret prayer as whatever I dictate to God to do, he must do as long as I put in Jesus' name at the end. And you see this in a little formula they use. Name it, claim it, and frame it. That's what I put at the end. That is, name it, claim it, and frame it. Whatever you name in prayer, whatever you tell God to do in prayer, he's duty-bound to do exactly as you tell him to do if you say in Jesus' name. So claim it after you've named it, and after you've claimed it, frame it on your wall. That's my part. Now, that's not prayer. That is audacity and blasphemy of the worst sort. You don't tell God to do anything. You don't dictate to God. Who in the world do we think we are that every little thing we say to God for him to do, he is duty bound thereby to do it exactly as we have told him to do? I mean, I trust you're like me, and there have been times you praise God, you haven't gotten exactly literally what you asked for. Because in looking back, I thought, praise God, I didn't have that prayer answered. See, whenever you say, whatever I tell God to do, he's got to do, what you're saying, I'm God, I'm omniscient, I know what's perfect for me. And let's hope God does. And I can tell him what to do with my life. Name it, claim it, frame it. Well, that's not what Jesus is getting at, obviously. You don't dictate to God. You don't tell him your will. Say, I will for this to be done. You know, Jesus prayed that way, by the way. Jesus ended the great high priestly prayer in John 17. He says, Lord, I pray these things because these are what I will to be done. But now if any mere man prays like that, you better stand back from him. He's liable to be struck by lightning on the spot. But you see, Jesus was God incarnate. And so in his prayers, I can say, Lord, I give you these petitions because I will for it to be done. Pray like that. Because it's God's will, not yours. Well, you say, what does it mean, Joe? Everything Jesus said, whatever you ask for in my name, I'll do it. Well, now remember what the word name means. The name means the revelation of the character and the will of God, to put it simply. God's name is the revelation of what he's like and what he wants from us. The Bible says that God has revealed his name in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is a revelation of the character and the will of God. God has revealed His name in the Bible. The Bible is an exposition of the name of God, the character and the will of God, who God is, what's on His heart, what His plans are, and what He demands of us. Therefore, when you and I are told to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and that we'll be given whatever we ask for if we pray in the name of Christ, what we're being told to do is, if we ask God for anything that is in accordance with the revelation of His character and His will in the Word of God, He most certainly will give it to us. Let me say it again. That's what Jesus is getting at when you interpret Scripture with Scripture. And He says, you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. The word name in the Scripture means a revelation of a person's character and will, what he's like, what he wants. So Jesus is saying, if you ask me anything that's in accordance or derived from the revelation of who I am and my will in the Scriptures, I'll give you whatever you ask for, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. You see, look back at John 15:7. He explains it a little. In John 14, he says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. But then notice what he says in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. In other words, as my word finds a home in your heart and begins to influence your thinking and your desires and your attitudes, and you pray now as a reflection of those new desires and those new attitudes that have been changed and influenced by the Word of God, He says, it'll be done for you. As my Word finds a home in your heart and begins to change you, and you express desires to me out of the transforming power of that Word, I'll give you whatever you ask for. Now, Jesus brings this out again in the high priestly prayer. Turn to John 17. And I want you to notice some synonymous phrases, lest you think I'm reading in this thing too much. Look at the 17th chapter of John at some words. Verse 6. Jesus says, now I want you to notice synonymous words, synonyms. I manifested thy name to the men thou gavest me out of the world. All right, Jesus said, I've done what you sent me to do, God. You sent me to manifest your name to your people. You sent me to reveal to them your character and your will. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they've kept thy word. All right, now you see here. I manifested my name to them, and they kept thy word. See how Jesus is using the word and name interchangeably. Well, look at verse 8, or 7 and 8. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee, for the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they received them. I manifested my name to them. They kept your word. I gave them the words you gave me to give them. And now look over at verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Now you see all these synonyms? I manifested my name. I gave them your name. I gave them your word. I spoke your words. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Word, truth, words, name. They're all synonymous phrases. The point is, Jesus is saying, I revealed to them, God, what was on your heart and what you wanted of them. I revealed to them who you were. And now on the basis of that, He calls upon us to pray. On the basis of the Word of God, in the light of what I've taught you, says Jesus, whatever you ask that is drawn from the character, the revelation of the character and the will of God in Holy Scripture, whatever promise or doctrine you take from the Word of God and turn it into a prayer, I'll give you what you ask for. Without exception. No ifs, ands, and buts. I'll give you what you ask for. You ask anything of God in the name of Jesus, He'll give it to you. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Keep your finger there in St. John, but turn to 1 John chapter 4, 5, and you'll see John interpreting what Jesus said. Now, the same John that wrote the gospel according to John wrote the epistle of John. The same John that quoted Jesus as saying, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you, now has his little commentary on that in 1 John chapter 5. And he says in chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Now, it's obvious John had in the back of his mind what he heard Jesus say in John 14. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. John, who knew his Old Testament, understood carefully what Jesus meant. And he said, in effect, as Jesus said, whatever you ask him according to his revealed will, he'll give it to you, and therefore you can thank him even before you get the answer to your prayer. You can thank him that the answer is going to come. Now, that doesn't mean that you pray for a brand new Cadillac and you thank him before it comes. I thank you for this. I need a new Cadillac, and I thank you that you're going to give it to me. I mean, that's blasphemy again. Where in the Bible does it say it's God's will for you to have a Cadillac? Is there a verse like that? I mean, show it to me. And let's see if I can work my name in there too. There is no promise. We're not talking about you just making up promises. Say, well, God promised me this. There's people actually talk like that. God promised me this yesterday. Well, where in the Bible did he promise? I think it's you promising yourself. The only promises we have from God are right here. The only promises God ever made to anybody is right here for us today. Right here. And so, therefore, if we're going to pray in Jesus' name, and know that whatever we ask, he's going to give. And we can thank him even before we get it with the confidence that it's going to come in his own time. We've got to make sure that what we pray for is in accordance with what God has revealed that he commands of us and has planned for us in the Word of God. Anything beyond that that you ask for, Cadillac, you better do it very humbly and conclude with saying, if it is your holy and blessed will, and if it's not, and you want me to drive this clunker I'm driving, I thank you just the same. So you got to make a difference now between God's revealed desires for your life and your desires for your life. The more your desires for your life are shaped by God's revealed desires for your life, the more you're going to see your prayers answered. And you can be confident that whatever you ask God in Jesus' name, according to his will, he'll give it to you. Now, one last thing here before we quit for this morning. Does that mean then that anybody that picks up the Bible and it falls open, John 14, and they read these words, if you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. So that somebody says, ooh, well, that's great. I think I'll try it. I want you to look at the context. Who has the right to make such prayers? Who has the right to expect his prayers to be answered like this? To whom is the promise made that whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it for you? A very special and limited group of people. It is not addressed to everybody in the whole wide world, so that if anybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they believe, picks up a Bible and says, oh, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I think I'll do it. This verse applies to a very special and limited group of people. Now listen, beloved. It may be a smaller number than there are people sitting in this room. There may be some people in this room this morning who have neither the right nor the authority to believe that this applies to them. Let me show you. Let's go back to John 14 and look at all the things Jesus said around this promise. Let's look at verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The only people that have the right to pray like this are those who, first of all, understand to some degree what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. They're trusting in Jesus alone for their salvation. They realize they have no standing before God apart from Him. They're not looking to themselves and their own good works and their merits and achievements and their contributions. They realize that all their righteousness is as filthy rags. And all the hope they have of acceptance with God is to be found in Christ. Moreover, the reason they pray and ask God to give them what's on their heart is so that God may be glorified in the Son. The goal of their life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Jesus says, ask in My name and I'll do it for you so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And that's why a person who has the right to pray this prays. He says, Lord, here's the desires of my heart. My ultimate goal, my ultimate motive is that You might fulfill these desires in my heart according to Your will, that You might be praised and You might be honored. Not just so that I can live a more comfortable life. You see, if the ultimate purpose of your prayers is to be more comfortable, to be healthier, to be in less pain, to be a little less frustrated, to relieve pressure, and that's the reason you pray, forget it. If you want to pray like this, and I say to myself as well as you, if you want this promise to be to you, whatever you ask in the name of Christ, God says, I'll do it to you, then make sure that your goal for everything you ask is that God will be glorified. God, if you give me a Cadillac, will glorify You, give it to me. If you won't, don't. Please don't. Please don't. Because my ultimate goal is that you be praised and you be honored. Let's go on. Verse 14. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. This promise is only addressed to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who seek to obey His laws. And if in your everyday life you don't manifest your love for Christ by seeking to obey His laws, forget trying to take advantage of this promise. The promise is to those who trust and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Savior and Lord. It is for those whose ultimate goal in life is to glorify and honor God by everything that happens to them. And their everyday lives are marked by love for Christ that manifests itself in obedience to the laws of the Bible. Not to laws they make up, but to laws of the Bible. You say, well, Joe, I've seen God do things in my life when I wasn't concerned with His honor, and I wasn't particularly obeying His commandments, and I didn't particularly understand what it meant to pray in the name of Christ. I've seen God answer my prayers. Well, let me just say a couple little things. First of all, you see what a gracious and sovereign God we have, that He even answers the prayers of fools. And that no answer to prayer is deserved by us. Secondly, sometimes God gives you things, material things that you asked for, even though you didn't do it to His honor and glory, but for selfish motives. And even though you weren't particularly faithful, and you didn't particularly understand what it meant to pray in Jesus' name, say, God gave me this wonderful thing anyway. Maybe the reason God gave you that wonderful thing was to make you comfortable. So comfortable, in fact, that you would go to hell in peace. Because He has no intentions of leading you to Himself. So if God's ever done anything for you and you say, well, I didn't do it to His glory and I didn't do it in obedience to Him, go back and thank Him profusely for acting in sheer grace and sovereignty, and go back and confess, oh God, what a sinner I was to even mention Your name and not be concerned with Your glory and not live in obedience to You and not live in dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this thing of prayer is a very important thing and a very dangerous thing. It's more dangerous than a cocked pistol in your hand if you don't use it properly. If you don't pray properly, you'll shoot yourself. So you remember the things we talked about this morning. Prayer in the name of Christ is an encouragement. It is power. And it's direction from God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again that you, the God with whom we have to do, is a God who hears prayer expressed as the sincere desires of our hearts in the name of Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with confession of sin and thankful acknowledgement of your mercies bestowed upon us. Lord, make us people who understand, love, and practice true praying. For Jesus' sake, we pray and worship. Amen.